if there is a change in an employee who reports something in their conditions of employment, any change, let's say transferred to a new office, transferred to a different position, or whatever, there's a change in that person's condition, it is presumed there is, and I know this is legal mumbo jumbo, but it's significant here. The presumption is that that move was retaliatory. The presumption is that that move was retaliatory. The company has to overcome that presumption by demonstrating that it was not. In other words, to prove a negative, that the movement of the person or the change in the person's employee working conditions was not the result of retaliation.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Welcome, everyone. Michael Volkoff here for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. Each year, I try to set aside one episode to go over NAVEX's annual hotline benchmark report for good reason. It's a great report, good to see trends, good to see regional differences, and good for managing your overall hotline and investigation program. NAVEX obviously dominates the hotline market, probably, you know, exorbitant, very large market share. And given its global footprint, NAVEX has access to a large database of employee reports. And building on this unique perspective and data capabilities, NAVEX provides an annual report that analyzes the employee reporting data and identifying important trends. So June 3rd, 2025, NAVEX released its Regional Whistleblowing and Incident Management Benchmark Report. They analyzed over 2.15 million reports, the highest level ever, and its report covers over 4,000 organizations across Europe, Asia Pacific, APAC, North America, and South America, representing nearly 70 million employees. So there are a lot of key findings here, and I want to go through them and be interesting as you hear these to apply them and think about the data that you should be generating with regard to your own hotline system, whether it's NAVEX or not. These are just good topic areas to keep on top of, and also to report to the board on and to senior management in terms of your compliance program. And there's some interesting sort of regional differences that we're going to talk about here. Let's start with reporting rates. The North American region receives more than twice the number of reports than Europe and APAC, which is really interesting to think about because you would think that Europe and APAC, there would be more increases since they were starting from a lower level. You also had the EU whistleblower directive, which member states have been trying to comply with. But Europe, even though it has a relatively lower reporting rate, had the largest increase from 2023 to 2024. And I think that reflects the EU directive. So the reporting rates increased, the median increased from 0.49 to 0.67 reports per 100 employees. So that is a tremendous increase. And all four regions, that being North America, Europe, APAC, and South America, over the last 4 years have experienced an increase in employee reporting rates. And that makes total sense. It's just there's been more and more focus on this as a way to, you know, encourage responsiveness, encourage speaking up cultures, and identifying problems that would otherwise be unknown to senior management. Now, the time to resolution, in other words, the time from the report coming in to the time of resolution, there's some interesting findings here. Aside from the fact that North America has the largest volume, organizations, though, are able to sift through employee reports, investigate when needed, and resolve such matters in a median of 19 days. Now, consider this, back up for 1 second. as I always tell clients and colleagues, that we all know that about 80% of what comes in on a hotline relates to HR issues. And usually these are investigated, or not a formal investigation, but there is an evaluation and a response that may occur within a short period of time. But within the United States or North America, the median of 19 days is pretty positive and indicative of the fact that the North American companies have gotten used to taking these, you know, the 80% of HR, some of which are just counseling, require counseling or admonishments, that type of thing, are done relatively quickly. Now, what's interesting, if you look at Europe and APAC companies, they're much slower. And this, I'm not really clear about why. It could be because you have more sort of collective bargaining units or collective units in Europe in the workforce, and maybe that makes it slower to resolve these internal reports. With median times to closure in Europe, for example, 69 days, and APAC, 56 days, respectively. So that's much more than the 19 days in North America, and indicative of the need for the European companies to take a look at their investigative process and try to move that along. Same with APAC. I mean, these numbers should be down to 30 days or below, because the median should be at least below 30 days, because a lot of these are HR issues. Now, the time to report is another interesting issue as well. In other words, the time from the incident is reported, I mean, occurs, and the employee is either involved, observes it, or learns of it, and then the time to the employee report. So, for example, in Europe, the median time period from the incident occurring to the report was 13 days. Now, that seems a little bit high to me, because you would expect that people, when they observe something, they may be upset by it. It's hard to imagine a situation where you think about it for 13 days before reporting it. APAC was 12 days. And I think that these numbers reflect the fact that there may be some fear of retaliation, and there's sort of a process that a reporter goes through to ultimately decide to report. And notice in North America, the time difference is only 8 days. Frankly, I thought that would be a little bit lower in America, but maybe there's, you know, an employee sees something, they consult with people, they may consult with their loved ones or whatever about reporting something and whether or not it's a good idea. Anonymous reporting is another really interesting issue, because I see it as generally rising, but at the same time, over the last few years, we've seen substantiation rates increasing for anonymous reporting, which to me is indicative of reporters who are fearful of retaliation in the culture and then just don't want to experience that risk. So let's talk about that. Anonymous reporting, Europe, APAC, and South America had the highest median rates of anonymous reports. 65% in Europe, 67% in APAC, and 70% in South America. Now that to me, whereas in North America, probably dominated by the United States, it's just over half, 52% in North America. Higher levels of anonymous reporting may be an important indication of a culture of fear of retaliation, like I talked about. But notice here that Europe, APAC, and South America employees don't trust the system yet. And that to me is another reason why the EU whistleblowing directive is so important. In other words, they have a mountain here to climb over, which is to build trust with the employees, show that the system works. And the way you do that is by publicizing your internal investigation procedures and then being held accountable with regard to those. Let's talk another interesting issue was retaliation cases. With the EU's directive, the EU whistleblowing directive had a focus, a real different take on protecting whistleblowers legally. It is important to note that by headquarters region, European-based companies substantiated retaliation cases at 32%, nearly double the rate of North America, which achieved a four-year high of retaliation substantiation of 17% in 2024. APEC had a substantiation rate for retaliation reports of 28% for 2024. Now, why do you think that the retaliation rate, substantiation rate in Europe is much higher, 32% versus 17% in North America and 28% in APEC? And I think that that reflects in Europe the difference in the law with regard to retaliation. In other words, if there is a change in an employee who reports something in their conditions of employment, any change, let's say transferred to a new office, transferred to a different position, or whatever, there's a change in that person's condition, it is presumed there is, and I know this is legal mumbo jumbo, but it's significant here. The presumption is that that move was retaliatory. The presumption is that that move was retaliatory. The company has to overcome that presumption by demonstrating that it was not. In other words, to prove a negative, that the movement of the person or the change in the person's employee working conditions was not the result of retaliation. And I think that that can explain why you have a retaliation rate or substantiation rate of one third. So this is something, if you're a European company, for purposes of this, then you really need to work on your legal framework with regard to retaliation and making sure that you have in place documentation controls and that you make sure that you point out the non-retaliatory motive or explanation for the change in the workers' conditions. Really interesting development there. Let's take a minute and talk about reporting channels. Navex's report looked at reports received via a phone, a hotline, web-based reporting, and other sources, which can be walk-ins to compliance or human resources or any other way. In North America, by frequency, the hotline is used, that means phone channel, for 31% of the reports, significantly above Europe and even more than APEC. And I'm actually surprised by the hotline phone channel being used as opposed to web-based reporting where you write up something and submit it. And I think we'll see a trend of phone frequency declining and web-based increasing just because as youngsters are more apt to text and communicate that way, they'll become more dominant in the working place as they age in the workforce. And finally, let's talk about one other issue, reporting by ownership type. And this was really interesting, and I thought it was actually contrary to what I expected. Navex analyzed the internal reporting data to reflect the different structures of company ownership, publicly traded companies, private organizations, government entities, and educational entities, to show how reporting metrics differ within these groups. And there were some important findings. Privately owned companies are more likely to substantiate reports across the board in all of the regions, with Europe and APAC at 50%, North America at 49%, and South America at 67% substantiated rates. And that is interesting because maybe within the privately owned company, there's a greater sense of commitment, may have started as a family business and then it got bought out somehow by the family or the ESOP, or you could have private equity. And that to me, we typically don't see huge commitments to compliance from private equity firms when they develop these portfolio companies. They're always looking to cut costs, not make a good investment, which I think they should do in ethics and compliance program. And conversely, public companies' substantiation rates were below for all regions, Europe at 45%, APAC at 47%, North America at 42%, and South America at 43%. This, to me, is not good. And the fact that the North American public companies are substantiating these allegations at such a low rate either indicates to me that there may be a bias against substantiation, or that there's too much at stake in a public company, or something is missing. And maybe it's a reflection of the culture of some of the companies. I don't know. But this to me was very, very interesting with regard to public companies, because I would have expected them to be more sensitive to being accountable by shareholders and other stakeholders in the company. Interesting development there. Well, that's a quick roundup on the NAVEX report. I would definitely take a look at it when you get a chance. Apply some of the principles to your own data set and see what you come up with. This is an important area. Hotlines are critical to maintaining your speak up culture and making sure you're on top of that. Anyways, thanks everybody. We'll see you next week with another episode.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkov, go to volkovlaw.com.